chapter 2. So without Stan here, there goes half my material. I can use all of it now. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's a little loud, Max. We're going to start on verse 20, and I'll read it, and then we'll open up. I got lots of questions for you tonight to review. So starting in verse 20, now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So I'll just open up in a word of prayer and then we'll dig in. Lord, we just thank you once again for this wonderful opportunity to gather together and to have some fellowship, but more importantly, to petition you in prayer corporately. And we're always so grateful that we can lift up our brothers and sisters in the Lord before you and petition you for things that are on our heart that we see in their lives that we'd love for you to tend to them with. And we're grateful that you give us that opportunity to do that. And Father, we're also just thankful that we can sit around and open up your word and just enjoy that. And we enjoy it immensely, and we just thank you for that. And Father, I think of all the ones who are not out with us tonight, and just pray that you put on their heart to come out on Wednesday nights and sit around and pray and enjoy your word. And I know many times it's because of busy lives and things that happen in life, and we know that that stuff happens, and we don't blame them for any of that. We just pray that you put it on their heart to make this a priority so they could be out with us. We love our brothers and sisters and love to fellowship and be with them. And Father, we just pray for any of those who are sick. We know many, are, as we saw the list, are going through pains and hurts and recoveries. And we just pray that you lift them up and continue to be there for them as you so faithfully are every day. And Father, we just give you much praise when you go through the prayer list to see the Praise the Lord ones with Bitsy Botter coming home and Scott Wunderlich, no cancer, and we just praise you for that and just look forward to those opportunities when we can praise you and thank you for your good work in their lives. And Father, we just pray now that you give us a good open hearts and open ears and open minds and that we learn much from your word tonight as we review what we taught on Sunday. And we just thank you once again for this opportunity and ask your blessings on it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in 2 Timothy coming to that chapter 2, which is really about what Paul was telling Timothy what to be. In chapter 1, he told him what to do, and now he's telling him what to be. And it really is quite extensive, all the different characteristics he mentions here. And I have a bunch of questions to go through to just kind of stir up, hopefully, your memory from Sunday, because it's just some really neat teaching that we're getting in 2 Timothy, and it's one of these books that when you really understand what's being said there, it really just, you want to instill it in your mind. You want to remember these things because they're so, so important in our Christian walk. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, can anyone name one or two or all of the seven characteristics of a man of God in chapter 2. So there's three real famous ones. Johnson, you're not allowed to answer. I know you know that. He's ready to like rattle off all seven and just shut the whole crowd down. Three famous ones that, and I'll give one of them away, a soldier. So I just gave one away. Can anybody name any of the other ones? Hardworking farmer, right? Farmer, right? Athlete. Faithful teacher or discipler, right? That's an important one. Awana verse. No, I'm not asking the verse. That's the characteristic. What's the characteristic? An approved worker, right? And then on Sunday, so Sunday we taught two more. Honorable vessel, very important. And then the last one, what was it? Bondservant, right? Or the Lord's servant, either one. So those are the seven characteristics. Can anyone expound on the specific characteristic of any one of those seven? Gets a little more difficult, right? Johnson raised his hand. I hope so, would be my answer. Go ahead. You don't have to do all seven, but I tell you what, don't do all seven, but pick one and get everybody going. So what's the characteristic of an approved worker? And? Not ashamed. And what does he do? Right. So see, that's understanding what an approved worker is. What would an athlete be? We've kind of hit that for 3 weeks. We've been talking about an athlete. Anybody know that? Yes, someone who's obedient to the rules. So for us, it's about obedience. So that's the athlete. He follows the rules from beginning to end. And we talked about it over and over again. It doesn't matter how well you compete. If you break the rules, there's no reward at the end. So it's about being obedient. Anybody name another one? How about the soldier? Say that again? Yeah, so that's true. That's a soldier's always doing that, but there's a very specific thing with the soldier. He doesn't get entangled with civilian pursuits. He's always doing what? He's following the one who enlisted him. So the real characteristic, James, that we pull away from there, that's a good one. That actually is part of it as a soldier. We're always battling Satan. But the real characteristics he's teaching there is, like Christ, do the will of the one who enlisted you, or do the will of the Father. What's another one? Yes. So it's a hardworking guy who's willing to work to the point of exhaustion towards what? The harvest. Yeah. So that's important to get, because we want to be working hard for the Lord, but we want to be working towards the harvest. So if the only thing, and this is part of when we get into our teaching, if the only thing you're doing is working hard for the Lord by coming here, you know, every twice a year, I think we clean the chapel, and you come here and, man, you give it your all washing those windows, that's great. That does go towards something. But that's not really what the mindset of always working towards the harvest. Working towards the harvest is people being saved. And it takes more than just washing a window twice a year. Now, that's good to do that, but that gets into more of our teaching later, which we'll get into. So let's do another one. What did we not do yet? Yeah, there's an important word we got to get in there when we talk about the honorable vessel. It's cleansing. Yeah, and that's why the word cleanse is, it's something we all have to do on a continuous basis to be honorable. Now, the dishonorable vessel has to do a little bit more scrubbing to get to the point where he starts having those natural tendencies, disciplines to be cleansing all the time. But we talked about it. Even a clay pot and a wooden bucket can be an honorable vessel if they purge and clean themselves well enough. So what's the last one? Very specific characteristic of, well, actually, there's two more we haven't done yet. So I just said the last one, so I'll go to that one, the bondservant or the Lord's servant. There's a very specific characteristic of that. What was that? No, that's not what we're looking for. It was something about a bondservant in the Old Testament that we taught on. Say that again? Yeah, it's deciding to serve your master until death. And that's what I was telling you on Sunday. I like that word bondservant better than just Lord servant. Lord servant sounds like I'm just going to go do something real quick for him. The bondservant gives you this idea that I'm going to serve him until death. I'm fully his. There's no question in where I'm going and what I'm doing. So I love that term bondservant better. It's funny, in 2 Timothy, which is such a great book, I've had two things where I don't like their interpretation, and this is one of them, where it says the Lord's servant. I'd rather it say the Lord's bondservant, just me personally. But, all right, so can anybody remember back to what I just opened with? What is chapter 1, the basic general description and distinction of chapter 1 versus chapter 2? Chapter 1 is, yeah, what he is to do, and chapter 2 is what he is to be. Right, good. Say that again? What's that? Shoot, throw, share it. You're gonna sit on that all night? Oh, yeah, on the seventh one, the faithful teacher. So what is the idea behind the faithful teacher, the characteristic? Falls apart. So, yeah, he's in a sense, the faithful teacher is a discipler. He has to literally be out there teaching, finding faithful men and doing for them what Paul did for Timothy. Preach, teach, work with them, show them the way. Because like we said on Sunday, one generation has skipped on that and literally think a nation, a community, a church, a family could fall apart and disappear. Just one generation missed and it could all fall apart. Good. Great job. All right. When we talked about the great house in verse 20, what did that represent? The church, the house of God, correct. That's important to get that because it helps us to see what everything else is being taught here. So the vessels in the great house were representative of who? True believers, yeah. So what about unbelievers? No, this is specifically talking about believers. And we mentioned this. This is not talking about the wheats and the tares. This is not talking about the sheeps and the goats. This is talking about the state of believers. Ah, I just gave my next question away. So let's see if anybody can get it. No, I'm just... So I'm just going to expound on it so we don't miss that point. We're the honorable vessel and the dishonorable vessel in the great house is talking about believers. And it's specifically the honorable and dishonorable is talking about the state they're in before the Lord. It's not talking about their standing. And we have to get that down. So we're not talking about those that are unsaved. We're talking about those who are saved and behaving poorly when we talk about a dishonorable vessel. When we talk about an honorable vessel, we're talking about those that are cleansing. All right. What was the good news in this section of Scripture that I shared with us on Sunday about the dishonorable vessel? Yeah. Yeah, he can be cleaned. It makes me, when I hear Paul say that and write that and I see it in Scripture, I go right back to all the times in Scripture in the New Testament when Paul's writing his letters and he's writing to even the Corinthian church. They're so messed up. They're doing so many things wrong. And he says, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful to see that. And when I see this part, where he says, hey, you it's okay. You're dishonorable, but you can change. Now, the okay part is there's good news for you. I'm not going to accept you being dirty and a dishonorable vessel, but there's great news. You too can clean and be useful to God. You can be set apart as holy, useful to God, and ready for every good work. And it's wonderful news in Scripture, even for those who are misbehaving. All right, so let's see if we can come up with a bunch of different things I mentioned on Sunday on how does the believer cleanse. Everybody's going to get the first one. Nope, you're not allowed to answer. You hit your limit. You're like, I let you go two over your limit tonight. So you're like, hey, Val, did you bring the duct tape? Say that again. So yes, but... but there's something, repentance is definitely a part of it, right? But this is all the things you do after you repent. So the dishonorable vessel has to do, to become an honorable vessel, he can't repent and go back to what he was doing. He has to repent and change and do these things. And one of them is to, John? Yeah, do the will of the Father is absolutely one of them. Say that again? Yeah, taking heed according to his word. Being obedient to the word is another one. So if you're obedient to the word, what did you do to find out to be obedient? You read the word. You have to read the word. And I talked about that on Sunday when I showed you the book, The Spiritual Disciplines by Don Whitney, that there was 13 spiritual disciplines. So there's 14 chapters in the book, 13 disciplines, and reading the word had two chapters devoted to it. Bible intake had two chapters, and it was first. So what does that tell you? That's a really important part. What else do we have to do? We not only read the word, what do we do with the word? Not so much follow, looking for more specific words, but that would be obedience. Yeah, what do we do after we read the word? If you read the word like you read the newspaper, you walk away when you're done, you were entertained, you entertained your mind for 5 minutes, and you walked away and you didn't remember anything. It was a great story I just read. What do we do? Study, right. Meditate and study are two different ones that we have to do. So we read the word, we study the word, we meditate on the word. We're obedient to the word, we do the will of the Father, and there was two other things I mentioned on Sunday about cleansing, and this goes into what Val talked about, so I'm just going to give it out. She talked about repentance, and that's I talked about praying. And I said it like emphatically of pray, pray, pray. And the part about praying, especially when you're a dishonorable vessel trying to cleanse yourself, is confess, confess, confess. And that's the repentance part. You have to have that time alone with God, talking to him about the things that you've been doing wrong in your life that you're desiring to change, and you're going to ask his help for it. And you have to confess that to him. And then there's one last thing that's important for us in cleansing, because it's dishonorable vessels tend not to do this, and we need to have a practice of doing it. Go ahead. I'll take the duct tape off for this one. Yes, yes. That's so important in being an honorable vessel, because being an honorable vessel is being obedient to the word, and we're asked to do that. So we have to take that step in that stage to do those things. And look, I stand up in front of you and say that that's hard at times. There's many times I keep my mouth shut when it should be open. But we have to do it. It's part of being an honorable vessel. we have to share with everybody. All right, so once again, and we kind of said this, but who should cleanse? And maybe you even remembered the reason why. But who should cleanse? According to this part of 2 Timothy. It's a real simple answer, and I'm asking it like to try to make it tough, but who should be cleansing? Think of the things we just named to cleanse. Who should be doing that? All believers, right? Why? Because of what it said in Isaiah. And I want to read that real quick again to you. Isaiah 64:6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. So it's a habit that we have to do. I had mentioned, well, let me just say this. What really is the basic difference between an honorable vessel and a dishonorable vessel? This has to do with the question I just asked with the Isaiah answer. A simple answer is to say one's honorable, one's dishonorable. But there's a certain action that's different between the two. Yeah, that's the difference. An honorable vessel is cleansing himself. So he's useful to God. He's separated himself, set apart as holy. He's ready for every good deed. A dishonorable vessel is not doing that. You can tell a dishonorable vessel from an honorable vessel. When you're someone who's in the practice of cleansing, you can tell dishonorable from honorable right away. And look, we as a group have honorable and dishonorable vessels in here. It's a very sad thing. It exists because we're human. But you can tell right away who's, when you're talking and conversing, who's in the Word, who's not in the Word. Who's got disciplines in their life, who doesn't have disciplines. You can just tell. It's just kind of the way it is. So you can tell an honorable vessel from a dishonorable vessel because the honorable vessel is doing all those things to cleanse continuously, and it just shows up in their life. They're always doing something for the Lord. They're useful. They're ready at any time. You can ask them to do something. Go ahead. All the time. All the time. I love that statement you brought out of Micah Tuttle, that he has eternity tattooed on his eyeballs. That's an honorable vessel. He's pursuing righteousness all the time. He has that vision all the time. He's the Lord's bondservant. He's going to serve his master until death, and all he's doing is those cleansing things because, not because he's trying to be righteous, because he knows it pleases the Lord to be that way. Amen. Right. Right. I shared this one time from the pulpit. I made this comment. I ran into a guy I knew in the nursery industry I've known him now for 20 some odd years. And after about 10 years, he walked up to me at a trade show. And I was able to say to him, he wasn't able to say to me, I said, "Rob, boy, you look really good. You lost a lot of weight." He's like, "Oh boy, that you 10 years ago, you said this phrase to me. You looked at me and said, after you had lost some weight, and you said, every bite of food I take is either towards gaining weight or losing weight." And he said, that just stuck with me, that like there is for big fat heavy guys, there's no staying the same. You're either eating properly and you're losing weight because we're so overweight, or you're not eating properly and you're gaining weight. Well, I hate to oversimplify it, but there is no status quo as a believer. There's not this like, okay, I'm at that really good plateau, I'm just gonna stay right here now. This is good and comfortable. Lord likes me here. This is it. There is none of that. You are always pursuing righteousness, always. And the moment you're not, you're falling backwards. And that's a really tough concept. And what else did I say on Sunday? I used the Mike Jones terms of getting old isn't for wimps. Christianity isn't for wimps. It's hard work all the time. We have to work at this. I mentioned two of the greatest tools we have for cleansing. Does anybody remember what they are? We talked about, yeah, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even be able to do any of this. We'd just completely fail. And the Word. If we didn't have the Word, we wouldn't have any idea where to go or what to do, and would have no direction. So it's been wonderful. Now, could the Lord make it happen with just the Holy Spirit? Well, He did in the early church when they really didn't have a Bible yet. But we see that His desire today is to use the Holy Spirit and the Word in order for us to have our walks be honorable vessels. Why do we as believers have to be careful fellowshipping with dishonorable vessels? So, yeah, we develop a tolerance for their defilement, is what happens. It's a really difficult topic, and it's tough. And when I saw the small crowd tonight, I thought, boy, I probably threw too many rocks on Sunday and hit too many dogs. You know, when I said you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. Maybe I threw too many rocks when I walked in. But the bottom line is this. What happens when you allow sin to come through those doors as a dishonorable vessel, and we accept it, and we tolerate it, we eventually then can be infected by it. And it can overtake us. And we have to be very, very careful of that. So there's this fine line of we don't kick the dishonorable vessel out. They belong to the Lord. But we don't let their defilement infect us. We encourage them up to being honorable vessels. And that has to be done continuously and all the time to encourage them up. And when we're not doing that, we're just as bad and just as much a part of the defilement. Toleration is not... To think for a second that the Lord tolerates sin? Not for a second. So these things, we have to all get better about looking at our brother and sister in the Lord and encouraging them. Encouraging them up to be in holy vessels. All right, what is our main motive in changing our spiritual state from a dishonorable vessel to an honorable one? It's right in the verse. Yeah, what is the term we use in the verse? You're allowed to look and cheat. It's an open book test. The main motive is to become useful to God. That's the number one thing with changing from a dishonorable vessel to an honorable vessel, is to be useful to God. And why? Because God despises dishonorable vessels. So we want to become useful to God. That's why we want to be honorable. I quoted Robert Murray McShane on Sunday. Can anybody remember that quote? It was a real short, simple one. Yeah, my personal holiness. He was asked one time what the greatest need of his people was and in his congregation, and he said, the greatest need of my people is my own personal holiness. He, as leaders, you know what it's like. You could come out with 1,000 different answers to that when you think of the needs of your people. And yet he came out with, it's my personal holiness. Of all the things, all the skills, all the attributes a leader needs to have, and he came out with holiness as the number one thing. I thought that was really neat. All right. I'm almost giving this away. What does God demand of his leaders in the church? Robert McShane's quote. Yeah, personal holiness. So they, in a sense, and remember, we talked about this on Sunday, that 2 Timothy especially in chapter 2, is written to Timothy as someone who is a leader in the church. Most of its application is someone leading in the church. I took this strategy of taking a practical application of that, being that if a leader is to be that way and to be that holy in the church, so goes his people he leads. So his people need to be holy also, and that's why he needs to be holy. So it's important that we understand that with leaders, is your leaders need to be setting the example of this cleansing all the time and showing the congregation, this is what cleansing is. This is how you live a life. So that personal holiness is very, very much important in your leadership. And that's not just in an elder. It's anyone who leads. If you are going to be used of God, leading God's people, you need to have personal holiness in your life. If you're going to lead the Awana program, if you're going to lead a group of people, and I even, you know, Max was away, so I picked on him a little bit. But if you're going to cook a breakfast for the men downstairs and you're going to lead four or five men in that kitchen cooking that breakfast, now, look, we can all sit here and say that's just the breakfast. But if you're going to lead some other believers in a task, no matter how small it seems to be in a church, you are to have personal holiness to be an effective leader. Even down to a simple, we think of it as a simple thing, but even in Awanas, you're a director of just the cubbies, or you're doing game time, or you're teaching Sunday school. It's about personal holiness. That's how God can use you effectively. We get too caught up in having all the right skills and talents and everything else, and it's about holiness. That's how God uses people. What is the result of cleansing and attaining personal holiness? Once again, that word you didn't look up when I gave you the open book test, you are useful. Useful to God, and what would be the other one? Also in that same verse. The next thing after useful to the master of the house. Yeah, prepared, ready for good work, for every good work. See, that's the thing. When you're constantly cleansing and you're preparing yourself, you literally can do anything for the Lord that he needs you to do at the moment he needs you to do it. And that's the stage he wants us to be in. And that falls back to what James said earlier. When you're in that position and you're in spiritual warfare and you're battling Satan day in and day out as a soldier, you can handle it at any time of the day, at any moment that it happens, because you're prepared and you're ready for it. So that's an important thing. Next question. When Paul tells Timothy to flee from youthful passions, he is imploring him to do what? Simple answer. Run, flee, run away. Now, we talked about, make sure I'm not giving up my next question. Got to look at my notes. We talked about that word flee comes from fuego, which is the root word for fugitive. What is a fugitive? Someone who is, constantly or continuously on the run. So that word flee, the idea is when it comes to youthful passions, envy, jealousy, argumentative, pride, desiring of wealth, all those youthful passions that he insinuates by saying that term, we are to run away continuously because our flesh fights those things all the time. We don't just run once. And I was telling you how I almost head-planted right into a hornet's nest at work right that week. And I went down to caliper the tree, and as I'm going down, my head's about 6 inches from going wham, right into this hornet nest, about 18 inches. I showed Dan the picture on Sunday. And a bee flew in front of me as I was going down, and I looked, and then I caught the nest because it was hidden behind some leaves. I was like inches away from banging that thing and would have had all these hornets all over me. Well, that just it freaked me out. I jumped up and fled. And you probably all would have enjoyed seeing that, me running back to the truck. I almost took that thing out, and they almost took me out. But it's the idea of that's what we do when we see a hornet's nest. We flee. We run away. A burning building. We flee. We run away. We don't go, oh, boy, it's burning in here. I think I ought to work on getting outside. That's not what we do. And that's what Paul's saying. You need to flee, and it needs to be continuous. All right. We are told to avoid foolish and ignorant controversies. Why? Anybody remember? What's that? That is absolutely one of the answers. It breeds quarrels. What's the other one? I mentioned this on Sunday. Why we are to have nothing to do with them. Not only does it breed quarrels, but what can't we do when we're arguing or discussing with someone who's foolish and ignorant? Unprofitable. You can't get your point across. And the reason is they're foolish and they're ignorant. Now, what he's teaching here is these controversies is heretical teaching. And they're so bad that he's saying, look, Timothy, you don't even worry about them. They're so bad. You don't have nothing. You don't have anything to do with them. Don't confront them. Just move away from them. So we have to be careful that we don't get into these arguments. They're just not profitable. All right, so what commitment does the Lord's servant or bondservant make? And we're going to end on this one. I'm right on time tonight. We said it earlier when we were talking about the Lord's servant. Yeah, chooses to serve his master until death. And that may come at any time, but you're willing to do it that way. So that was my little review for tonight. Hopefully that was beneficial to you. Hopefully the stones I was throwing on Sunday didn't hurt too bad. I'll try not to chuck them as hard next time. But that was pretty much it. And we'll just close in prayer and thank the Lord for our time together. Father, once again, we just come to you so grateful and thankful that you give us these opportunities to open up your word and give us this teaching that you do out of your word. And we just love the ministry that your word has in our lives and that it ministers to us not only every day, but hour by hour and minute by minute. And we're grateful for that. And Father, we're grateful for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grateful that he did the work that he did that saved us. And that we have such a great salvation, and we treasure it, and we thank you for it. And Father, we just pray for this upcoming missions conference that's coming before us. We just pray that you give us the right hearts and make us honorable vessels to do your work and to share the gospel at that time. And we just also pray for Micah Tuttle and his family who will be traveling in. And I'm sure they're moving around now. And we just pray for blessings on them. Give them traveling mercies. And we just thank you that you afford us them for the days that they're in here to work with us and to help us and to really help us cleanse and purge and become better honorable vessels before you. And we just thank you for him. And Father, we also just have a special prayer for Dave as he's preparing for Sunday. We know in those weeks when we're studying, everything seems to get thrown at us that has nothing to do with studying and preparing your word. And that's just the way Satan works. And we just pray that you clear up Dave's week and keep him free from those distractions. Give him clarity of mind as he prepares his message for Sunday. And just pray a special blessing on that message that it edifies the saints in the way that you desire it to. And we just thank you for him and the work that he's doing this week to honor you. We just thank you once again for tonight and that you gave us this opportunity to come out. We ask your blessings now as we go out. And give us traveling mercies as we go home. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.